Audio recording for the meeting has begun.
Okay, Mike?
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, or morning for some of you. I just wanted to take this opportunity that there were mentioned that there were a number of comments that were made in relation to HIT and the Flex measure development. And I wanted to use this time basically to determine the reasoning for the suggestions for the HIT measures, much less the linkages to the actual core measures where they would effectively fit within the core areas of Flex. So this is really an opportunity for you to provide substantial or try to substantiate the information relating to the measures. And I just want to say I'm really just looking to hear what you have to say more than anything. And then I'll take that into account in the next version. So with that being said, I want to start off with asking a specific person to give. Kevin, are you on? Kevin Dreesen? I guess not. All right, Corn? Are all the lines muted, Nicole?
No, the lines aren't muted. Corinne, if you've got Corinne? Your line on mute, will you please press star pound to unmute?
I'm sorry. I was on mute. Yeah, Michael.
Yeah. And, you submitted some related to HIT, and I wanted to find out what your thoughts are on the incorporation of.
Well, I think for California, there are so many, there's a lot of activities going on. Assisting cause so that they can achieve meaningful use. And so because we hadn't seen anything in the proposed TIMS document that was sent out, we thought that we would raise that issue with ORHP. But we feel that, you know, we're engaged and working with our RECs and other entities in California to ensure that our cause are making those milestones so that they can achieve meaningful use. So that was sort of the rationale for putting that in there. And I believe that, and unfortunately, I'm in the car and I don't have that document in front of me, so I don't know exactly what the specific measure was that we were referencing. But through working with our partners on the Flex program, we thought we wanted to raise the issue and make sure that we weren't missing anything.
Okay. So, just to address that a little bit, I understand that the competitive guidance had a lot of information on HIT, and the way that the things have progressed with the Flex program itself, since we are looking at the three core areas, I'm trying to relate any potential PIMS measure to the three primary core areas, and in saying that, that means none of the Flex dollars can truly go towards equipment, and I want to make that pretty clear on this. At least for this next year, we're not allowing equipment support when it comes to HIT, and that's not in reference to what you were saying, Corin. I just want to make sure that that's the baseline information that I'm putting out there.
Okay.
I'm trying to find a linkage to it, and I can think of two outright, but I'm going to see where the Flex coordinators come from on this. So I really do want this to be a discussion and for me to listen as much as possible. So thank you for that.
I would just like to follow up that for us, our core, for HIT, we have it coupled with our quality improvement and so measures. So I'm not sure what other states are doing along their past activities with HIT, but we had our activities tied to the Core 1 measure.
And with that, and how would you measure that, though?
Well, a lot of it was, if you're going to put me on the spot here. And Helica, I don't know if you're on the line or April, if you have our work plan in front of you, and if you could sort of maybe list a couple of those measures that we're currently working on.
I am looking for the work plan, just a minute.
Okay. And my apologies, I wasn't prepared to go into details about California's activities. But what I can tell you is that we are working with them to ensure that they're meeting their milestones, and so we're engaged in conference calls. We also provide technical assistance through workshops and training. We are engaged in making sure that our cause are up to date on the state progress in terms of preparing for the attestation. We've done an assessment in the past to see where our cause are. We work with the our critical access hospital network to help them with their vendor selection, as well as California just received one of the HIT grants. So, you know, we're partnering with the network and those hospitals as they are moving forward and implementing their new electronic health records. So that's just a snapshot, but I don't have the process objectives in front of me.
Well, no, that will work for me.
Okay.
Gives me an idea.
Okay.
The activities, at least.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to a question I'm going to put out there then as people come forward. Do you find that the activities you are doing are duplicative activities, or are they closely working in conjunction with them? There's a lot of the things that are out there right now, really, I want to make sure that there's no duplication as much. It can be something that can complement it, but not something that should be a service provided by a regional extension center.
I think some of our activities are duplicative. Certainly, we have, like, the Hospital Association is really great about ensuring that any of the new changes that are going on with the state and where the state is in terms of the attestation, they're sending out that information. The RECs are sending out that information. We're sending out that information. So I would say, to some extent, there are some duplicate work, and sometimes information overload is too much, and then folks don't, you know, look at those updates. But clearly the training and technical assistance that we provide is unique, and we try to design it for those specific needs through, you know, preliminary needs assessments or surveys that we do prior to doing the training. So I would say yes and no.
Okay.
Mike, this is Karen Welly from Minnesota. Is it okay if we share with you what we're kind of doing in terms of measurable things around HIT?
That's fine.
Okay. The first thing that we do is we monitor and support communications with our regional extension center and encourage. We always are reaching out to our CAHs to encourage them to sign up with our regional extension center for HIT help. We do provide direct technical assistance to the Regional Extension Center on critical access hospital needs. We monitor their progress. We know all of our CAHs and where they are in adoption, what kind of product they're using. You know, we're trying to really keep a lot of data on where our hospitals are that we can share with our Regional Extension Centers, and we do that on a monthly basis. We are facilitating enrollment in our health information exchange. We have our annual rural health and critical access hospital conference. We definitely include sessions on health information technology, and we try to collaborate with our state's Office of Health Information Technology on those sessions. We're supporting the development of a telehealth registry. and we're also supporting our state's FCC pilot around broad expansion of broadband. The final thing is we have a state-funded electronic health record loan program, and we coordinate that with our Flex program. So those are things that are kind of easy to document and measure, and that's all I wanted to share about that.
So to go with that, what of those activities, how many are actually Flex Dollar related?
How many of them are Flex Dollar related? Well, it's certainly our Judy Berg, who couldn't be on the call because we're having a Flex Advisory Committee meeting for our state at the moment, so that's why we're on the call. She's working directly with connecting those hospitals, and she's part of the outreach to the Regional Extension Center and back is something that is just done as part of our staff work, I guess.
Okay.
It in terms of communications, our regular publications and so on, that is supported through the Flex program, absolutely. And I suppose the sessions at the conference, we're coordinating that. That conference is part of is funded under our Flex program.
Mike, it's Edwina from Maine here. I can't be on the call for very long, so can I just kind of give my two cents?
Yes.
At this? Maine is very similar to what the last two people have said. We use our Flex dollars very specifically for education and for supporting our hospitals to engage with the exchange for the purpose of quality improvement. We can document what our dollars are used specifically for education because of the way that our rec center has used the supplemental grants that they got. They do not have the funds to support the education, and there was no education included in those supplemental funds. So we work with our rec on a regular basis to develop topic areas for regional meetings, conference calls, monthly ask the experts. We engage with them all the time, discussion around what the hospitals need in the topic areas. We also engage with our Medicaid agency to ensure that the hospitals have registered to get their dollars their dollars from the Medicaid system. We also put money in to support the hospitals to engage with the exchange. We have a statewide exchange, and we know the number of hospitals that are currently enrolled and engaged with the exchange, and we're working with those that haven't yet gotten to that point. So Maine works very, very closely with the REC, but we can clearly document what the Flex dollars are being used for.
Okay.
And our REC is very incredibly supportive and grateful for those extra dollars because the CAS got supplemental funding quite late and it very specifically does not include education.
Hi, Mike. This is Michelle Millison, Colorado, and we have a fairly unique situation in our state that we are the REC for our critical access hospitals as well as other rural hospitals and then rural health clinics. So it makes for a good information flow between our teams, but we don't specifically put any Flex dollars towards HIT. We actually utilize our sorry, I have a cold. Our SHIP funding for quality improvement as related to implementation of meaningful use measures. And so we do some group purchasing models. For example, in this upcoming year, we're going to work with a vendor to provide workflow training to all of the hospitals. That'll be a choice for them to participate in that. We're looking at doing education in terms of system use and utilization and getting clinical process data out of their system that they're using and doing that by vendor type, potentially looking at CPOE training. we have a lot of calls that are on education in terms of what's going on in meaningful use, and that's through our rec dollars. Obviously, we do a lot of site visits through rec, and what we're doing here is taking, since we are the rec, we're taking the maps that they have in terms of when they're testing, and then we're creating synergy with our other programs to try to hook them into what they need, but we don't commingle by using flex funds. We just utilize our SHIP dollars for that.
Michael, this is Cindy. We do the same thing. We don't use SHIP dollars.
Hello? Cindy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Cindy.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't do anything regarding HIT through our flex at all, other than provide maybe some education in one of our educational programs, maybe run a track for HIT embedded within a program. But we work with our rec and coordinate with them. And then we have the Indiana HIT that we work with and the Telehealth Resource Center.
I'm on a call. Can I call you back? Yeah, no problem. I'll call you back. Bye.
Remember that we're on open line, folks. So please know if otherwise.
Yeah. So anyway, we have other resources that we tap into for that and do not utilize Flex.
Okay. Would there be a connection that you'd want with Flex?
I don't know. For me, I would think that maybe education to prevent duplication. I consider us to be the hub. Our rec doesn't know our hospitals as well as we probably do. So we may have more baseline information. We've done some surveys a couple years ago that we passed on to them that I think they felt were valuable. We might pull a meeting together over our video conferencing bridge to help them do some training to a large group. But it's kind of more indirect things that are done and maybe done under our I don't have a flat-out deliverable that I would see. It would just probably be embedded in an educational program at best. But everything else is kind of just normal business things to prevent duplication.
Okay.
Keeping them informed, you know, educating them, and then they carry it out.
Mike, this is John from Wisconsin. I think, you know, what you're going to hear a lot of this is that apart with some notable exceptions like Colorado or, say, North Dakota, where they're the primary players in the field, most of us are ancillary players. So we're really in supporting roles. You know, we do supporting, encouraging, convening, educating, some technical assistance. But it's not going to be we do X and the hospital does Y necessarily. I mean, I think there's a tension inherently in a lot of these measures that you're coming up with. On one hand, you want us to address all of the hospitals in the state, and for those of us with more than 20 hospitals, that's going to be a shallow, broad approach, which is, again, more of this convening and educating. But at the same time, you want direct impact measures which are deeper, so that would be with fewer hospitals working more closely. So I think, you know, there's two comments I'm making here about this. One is that in the way we approach a lot of this work is often as a supporting player, so we need measures that address that. And then the second thing is to look at the tension that you're coming to us with between this do it all for everybody, which is a shallow approach, and do it deeply, which is a narrow individual approach.
So how would you actually measure that, the ancillary activities, though?
Well, and I think that's, you know, sadly,
that's what I'm coming for. I'm like, if you can show me how to do that, I'd appreciate that, actually.
Well, so what we come up with in our educational is, you know, we're trying to move the meter from the initial progress measures where we're counting heads. We did X number of trainings, there Y number of people there. They all smiled and seemed like they liked it. Okay, so that's progress measures. And then we look at behavior changes. So what we're starting to do is every time we do a training, we're asking our trainers to come up with, say, 3 to 5 measures or behavior changes that they would like to see the participants do after they're done. So So if they're training in meaningful use adoption, they would say, you know, our five measures, these are five behaviors we'd like to see change. And then in a post-test at the training, we say, did you do the X before, and do you intend to do it afterwards? So we can look right after the training happened, do they intend to change behaviors? And then we'll follow up, and we haven't fixed this yet, but somewhere between a month and 3 months later, you know, not so long that they've forgotten about it, but long enough that it tests whether or not they really did what they intended. And that's to say, and it's basically the same form, did you do those behavior changes that you thought you were going to do? Because we can't necessarily say, you know, they achieve meaningful use because of us. It's just too much of a stretch. There's too many other factors. But we can say, we educated, we trained, we supported, we worked on this issue, and so we have identified these behavior changes. If they make those behavior changes, we believe that will lead them towards the ultimate goal, say meaningful use adoption or HIE.
So here's a question that goes to you then. The education sessions that you're doing, knowing that Lewis is part of the REC for Wisconsin, they're not doing educational sessions that are similar?
They're doing more direct consulting. I mean, that's the narrow, deep approach. They're working, you know, hospital by hospital, going into the, assessing what their needs are, providing a report based on all their variables, versus, you know, for those of us that work at the more of a broader level, we're trying to work with, say, 10 hospitals at once. And so does that explain the difference?
It does. I just wanted to make sure that they weren't doing educational outreach on a more macro level than just at the individual site.
Yeah, they do it. I mean, they do it for everybody in the state, but they do it at a macro level. So they have multiple staff. Most of it's Lewis, but I mean, they have multiple staff that help him to go in. And I would consider it more of a consulting practice. I mean, they go in and they see what they assess the needs. They gather all the data. He crunches it in his Excel spreadsheet, which, by the way, folks around the nation, if you haven't seen Lewis's Excel spreadsheet, he'll give it to you for free, and it rocks. But anyway, so he crunches the data, and that issues them a report based on that. So I would consider that a micro consulting level versus the education and training, as you pointed out, is more of a macro level.
Okay. All right. That works for me. Thank you.
Mike, we second that here in Indiana. That's exactly what our rec does and what we do.
Okay.
Yeah, same thing in Iowa.
And I think where you're talking about those educational programs and measuring, what he was saying is exactly what we're implementing now in the form of a pre, post, and then a follow-up survey within 2 to 3 months. We're reevaluating our whole process here, but I think he's with the behavior measures. That is really more hits it on the head. Is exactly what we're looking as a behavior change.
Thank you, Cindy. Taking notes while I'm here, not talking so much. Also, okay. Anyone else? With maybe something different or something that they would like to see?
Michael? This is Larry. One of the areas we're looking at is maybe associated with MBQIP, with the outpatient core measures and HCAPs. Our hospitals are okay on the inpatient measures, but they need some assistance, particularly with vendors for HCAPs.
Mm-hmm. Well,
adoption of, you know, getting our numbers to match our inpatient core measures would certainly be one measure there.
Yeah. Well, no, the plus side is that HCAPs is an acceptable side of things when it comes to flex. And we are working on vendor listing with TASC currently. So that's something that will be a technical assistance resource that's coming in the future. So that's something that we're going to try to buy on the front end.
But
Larry Allen, did you try to talk just a moment ago?
No. I'm. You addressed my question, so we're good.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Chuck in Alabama.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey there. How you doing, Michael? We, as the many of the other states just stated, we're taking some out of HIDE sort of resources to support HIT implementation by working with the REC and with our broadband office and with our health exchange people and so forth. But unless additional resources are provided, i.e. in terms of more grant money to support specific HIT initiatives that we would formally develop and build into the work plan, you know, we pretty much are sort of at the limit of our resources. And we don't really have it as a reportable item for PIMS and so forth, because we it is an out-of-head sort of as-we-can initiative. Do you foresee, of course, that's probably a moot question, but do you foresee any additional flex money coming down the pike to support HIT or the implementation of the health exchanges or whatever?
I'm not sure that it would come down the pipe for flex in itself. It might come from a different direction, not within the office, but the current budget situation across the board is kind of rough. So this is going at this point. So I wish I could give you more, but it just it's an unknown factor at this point.
Right. Well, I certainly understand your dilemma up there, and I'm sure you appreciate ours as well.
Yeah.
The if there were to be some financial support provided to us for that initiative, it would probably be more efficient to try to provide it through existing grant channels rather than a separate pot of money to create another grant requirement and have to be able to, and you know, have to take off on a separate program, you know, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. That's going to have to be left to the powers that be, though.
Oh, sure, I understand.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Kenny in South Dakota. I guess I have sort of a question. Are you trying to adjust, you know, PIMS? Just so it can capture some of the technical assistance and things that we do around this area, because you know, you've probably heard how a lot of the things that, you know, the flex programs have done as far as providing technical assistance, and you know, like we have, and probably about every other state that, you know, got those rural HIT grants, is, you know, we kind of help line up the, you know, the providers and, you know, the CHs and other providers with people that could help them develop the grants and help with our REC, you know, do assessments for those and kind of line that up, because we like Karen in Minnesota said, we're the ones that probably know the CH is the best. And you know, we've done a lot of that, those types of things, and probably was a direct result of a lot of those projects being developed, but there really isn't a way that we can record that, except, you know, in our, you know, our progress reports and things like that, but not necessarily in PIMS.
Kenny, I appreciate that, and I totally understand where you're coming from. it's a kind of a twofold thing. We are changing PIMS, at least what we're requesting. That's one side of things. The other thing is whether or not we need to include HRT, and that's kind of what this call is more about, is about the need, whether or not it's something that we should be asking for, or if we really need to, if it doesn't fall within educational requirements of a quality improvement for a lot of this. Some of it can be linked to that. So my thought process right now is trying to figure out, do we need separate HIT PIMS measures?
Okay. Well, to me, it's probably more of a tool to accomplish the things. It's probably maybe the quality and also the help support, their operation and financial, outcomes, because it could probably justify fitting in either one of those. And to me, it's probably more of a tool. Just like, at one time, this grant was network developing was a big standalone portion of it. Now it's basically you want that to be used more as a tool, and I would say that's kind of, it almost fits in the same area.
I can see where you're coming from, definitely. Take that under consideration.
Mike, this is Jackie in Arkansas. I hope that if you're considering adding HIT measures to PIMS, that they're optional, because there are some of us who don't have that HIT capability or experience within our office, and so we act as a funnel of information to our hospitals using the Hospital Association, the QIO, and the REC, and so there wouldn't be any